Broadcasting from the business capital of the world, this is the Podcast Business News Network. Good morning, everybody. Welcome back. It's Teresa, and I'm really glad you're joining me right now because I have back Richard Van Belzen, and Richard is the Managing Director at North Point Business Advisors. Yes, they are consultant in revenue growth. This is the company that you want to deal with to build your business. You can check out their website, northpoint.expert. Welcome back to the show, Richard. How are you today?
Good morning. Thank you.
How are you?
Good to be with you.
Same here. So if everyone missed the show or some people missed the show last week, can you just tell them who you are and a little bit about what you do?
Sure. My name is Richard Van Belzen. I'm the managing director of North Point Business Advisors. We focus on growth, focus on the various levers of growth. Most people would say that we're the number one firm in the United States. We've attained through our clients over $180 billion of growth. There's a lot of very, very large companies that have worked with us, but we have success with smaller companies as well. My father started three companies. I kind of grew up in that as a young person. So we have a certain amount of tenacity that we bring to really help people that are running companies. And before I got into consulting, I led a lot of growth inside of two different large companies.
Mm-hmm. And then you decided that you want to work with North Point. Being the number one firm in the U.S. Is wonderful. Do you find it's a lot of pressure too, Richard?
It really isn't, because you're working with different clients all the time.
Yeah.
A lot of people bring us back for checkups.
Uh-huh.
There's a lot of clients that bring us back every year, sometimes every other year. A very common situation is that they'll bring us in the summer or the fall as they're getting ready for the following year.
Mm-hmm.
So around mid-year this year, people will be thinking about 2022 and what they need to tee up. Often they bring us in when they're doing their 6+6, which says we've completed 6 months of the year. We have six remaining.
Mm-hmm.
We're either behind or behind in some areas.
Mm-hmm.
We have gaps. And what can we do to close those gaps by the end of the year? So those are some quick strike opportunities. But there's just a lot of tools. There's a lot of ideas. There's a lot of thoughts. You work with, a couple of hundred different clients. There's just so many things that you're able to do. There's so much imagination that you're able to bring to things. So it's really limitless. The key is to find the right fit for a client. Keep it pretty simple and focused, and give them something that, is executable at their end versus something that might be pie in the sky or something that worked for, three clients ago. It's got to work for this client. It's got to fit their culture and fit their appetite and fit their, just get their buy-in. As consultants, it's great for us to have all these ideas, but if the client's not buying into it, then,
that's the whole thing.
How
are you supposed to execute it if they're not, if they're not into it?
Right. Yeah. And there's in my world, nothing is ever the client's fault. If something can't be figured out, or even if they don't implement it, it's not their fault, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
It's always our fault. We have to be able to help them.
Mm.
And if they can't buy in, if it's hard, if it's difficult, then we're not making it easy for them.
Right.
Then why do they have us around? They have us around to give them wind at their back, to bring out the sunshine, to put a smile on their face, put a smile on their customer's face.
Right.
Make it easy. And we can do that. And we can do it every time.
Mm-hmm.
But it takes work. It takes work, and it takes thought. It takes preparation.
Mm-hmm.
It could take some time, but, it can come very, come very quickly.
Sure. Absolutely.
When we look at growth, sometimes people say, where does growth come from? Well,
yes.
The furthest growth area is R&D. So you've got to look at innovation. So we work with a lot of chief technology officers to look at how they can innovate and get things ready for the marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
If you're in a financial services company, you might not look at that as innovation, but you do need innovation, and your innovation is really around your market research, understanding your market, finding different things. So, you know, that you may not have at Bank of America, you might not have, or Merrill Lynch, somebody like that, you might not, or Merrill, as they call it now, mm-hmm. you have an innovation engine that is finding new ways, finding new products, finding new ideas. So you do have labs at that point. So you have innovation. Then you really have your go-to-market strategy, your higher-level strategy, your go-to-market strategy that makes products easy to sell. And right. then you have your channel strategy, whether it's direct or indirect, how you get that done. And then there's an inorganic play which says, okay, we've got our internal options, these three. Can we align, partner, make an acquisition to help, find, new areas of growth? So, that's kind of when I look at the table set of things that that we're doing, we work in those areas. Today's topic that I wanted to talk a little bit about was growth blind spots.
I
covered a lot of those blind spots, and there's three in particular that we have found.
Mm-hmm. And what you want to talk about that now? Because I was gonna.
Sure.
That's fine. Yeah. We'll do that. Go ahead. So what are the three?
Yeah. So one is accepting the status quo.
Uh huh.
The second is a slow read on changing conditions.
Okay.
And the third is not driving the market, not being aggressive enough.
Mm. Okay.
So in terms of accepting the status quo. People get caught, we all do, in our own swim lanes. We drive home, sometimes we don't know if the neighbor painted a house three doors down. We might not know because we go by it every day.
Right.
And we just assume that it's that color.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so when you're in a business and you're in a business for multiple months, multiple years, you get stuck in that swim lane, and there's things to the left and the right of you that, because at the pace you're going, you're looking straight ahead, and you're not stepping back. Now that could be as the leader, as a senior manager, as a sales manager, as an account executive.
Right.
And so, if you get caught in these swim lanes, you're not challenging yourself, and you're accepting certain performance levels, and you're saying, well, I'm doing fine. This is my rhythm. This is what I'm doing.
Right.
These are things that I can get. These are customers I can call on. These are customers that I don't mm-hmm. call on. Right. Maybe not setting stretch goals. Not pushing a little bit harder. And so, challenging the status quo is one of the key things. One of the good reasons to bring in a consultant is to say, from the outside in, outside the building, looking at us. Here's our customers. Look at us. Tell us what you would do differently.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
How would you go at it?
Because you bring a different perspective. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And when you're involved, invested in something, you don't have the same clarity.
Right. Right. Right.
There's
always a hindrance to bring somebody in because you'd say, okay, I'm bringing in this consultant person,
right?
what are they going to learn about my business?
Right.
How can they figure out what I know?
Mm-hmm.
Again, some of the clients we work with on a regular basis, and each year we bring them something different. We're always trying something different. I mean, we can look at things. I just played tennis earlier today. I was thinking about some people that have been very successful, in the game of tennis. So you
mm-hmm.
look at
mm-hmm.
Serena Williams, mm-hmm. As an example, a marvelous talent, has stayed at the top for a couple of decades now,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
always changing, always improving. You look at Roger Federer,
mm-hmm.
his game has changed every year. He keeps upping the bar
right.
because he knows that he's got one or two competitors
mm-hmm.
that are pushing themselves. And
right.
if he doesn't do things differently, they're going to do the same thing on him. Same thing in the business world. We're not often looking enough at how can we make it happen. And the payback for our work is sometimes it happens in a deal. Sometimes it happens in a month or two.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're bringing in a let's say you're a $10 million business, for us to find $1 million incremental, is not impossible.
Right.
Incremental 10%.
Right.
That is not difficult. If you're a billion-dollar company or multi-billion-dollar company, we will find different routes to market, different strategies to help you. I mean, the second thing that happens a little bit along those lines is there's changing conditions. So, we have change in administrations. There's mm-hmm. different policies going on. The market conditions change. We need to recognize what those conditions are.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the market's up, sometimes the market's down.
Mm-hmm.
But we need to understand that. And so the key is to have for my clients is I always encourage them is to and I've asked them, what are their feedback loops? Where do you get your information?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I talk to our salespeople. I talk to my management team. I talk to customers. Okay, so, and do you talk to the same ones? Do you talk to different ones? The people that give you input, are they people they'll really tell you?
Right.
Are they good
right.
reporters?
Mm-hmm.
Are they good reporters?
Mm-hmm.
And then are you a good reporter?
Right.
Are you willing to accept what you hear?
Mm.
Do you encourage people to give you the right information?
Mm-hmm.
Do you encourage people? Do you reward people for telling you things you don't want to hear?
Right.
And so having great input mm-hmm. into the marketplace is key. Now, what you find often is that somebody says, well, I'm in the marketplace. I have my peer group. I go to conferences. Today they're more virtual, but I interact with people, and this is what I essentially hear. Well, that's good, but that's your industry,
right? Exactly.
And,
yeah.
That in itself is a swim lane that you have to be concerned about. But underreacting to changing conditions and not being prepared enough for them. I can remember a time where I was running an organization with about 650 reps under me,
mm-hmm.
and we had a major economic downturn, and so I created a program called Steal One. And I essentially took a product that sold for $2,000
mm-hmm.
In the marketplace, and we positioned it for $995. That was unheard of at that time.
Wow.
And we sent out 40, 50 skids of materials out to our channels,
mm-hmm.
okay? And these people got them, and they were really inspired. We had ads and things that they put in the local papers,
mm-hmm.
and it said, Steal One. And people came in, and mm-hmm. they looked. But what happened was, there was no margin necessarily on that particular product. But we got the traffic in for the channel at a
right.
very tough time.
Mm-hmm.
We got the traffic in, and people ended up selling all these other products that we had because they had another 30 products that we could have sold them. But we put kind of a lead seller. Sometimes you find that in retailing.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of find a lead product to get you in the store.
Right.
This has been a business-to-business. We created a lead thing that people said, they got to be crazy. And then they came in, they said, well, we want something more. Now, that was a situation where at the end of the year, my company, which is a very, it's a $15 billion company at the time, had 12 business units. This was one of the 12.
Mm-hmm.
It was the only business unit to experience growth in that economic year. And we grew by 14%. Everybody was off at least 5 to 15%. And so the CEO came in and said, why are you the only unit to grow?
Wow.
Well, this economic condition, we just changed. We power drove it,
mm-hmm.
which is what I'm talking about is not being aggressive enough.
Right.
Again, going, that's the third thing, is you're not aggressive. I mean, it's like playing tennis again.
Right,
from this morning. I could play the baseline, hit mm-hmm. back and forth, back mm-hmm. and forth. The points are going to be long. Well, what if I go at the net? I shorten the game.
Right.
I put pressure on the competitor,
mm-hmm.
my opposition, and I go for quicker points,
right.
and a better chance to win. So these are things, that can be done, and people have got to look at who are their customers, who are their non-customers, and what are they getting out of them? I mean, one of the things that we've also looked at in driving the market and through the sales arena is, who's selling for us and what does it take to acquire a new account? And we have a small company that we've worked with that's probably $20 million.
Mm-hmm.
And what we said is that these people had a select number of account executives that were good. And we said, okay, you work in these accounts. We went around the country, and we created 50 accounts that we wanted to get into that were very important for us. And we had 25 on the eastern half of the United States and 25 on the western half. And we created an account executive for each of those accounts. But that person we created was a hunter, not a farmer. And the difference between a hunter and a farmer is pretty dramatic. And these are things that we're able to do around growth. So I have an adjective based test through a partner in Canada, and we give them the 50 adjectives, and how they score, we can determine extroversion, their dominance, extroversion, patience, and conformity. And so what we've learned is that a farmer is kind of a little bit more extroverted than dominant, a little bit more patient.
Okay.
And so what we look for is, if you're going to bring a hunter in, they've got to have at least 5 points more. So they got to be like a 15 or 18 or whatever in dominance, and they've got to be like a 13 in extroversion. So they got to be less extroverted. Now, when you interview these people for sales assignments, the hunters don't interview as well,
right?
Because they're more introverted.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But they have this higher dominance, because that way, when somebody says, "Hey, I don't want this," I'll say, "Hey, you know, I know we've got three good things that you like, and 3 out of 10 isn't bad.
Right.
So let's give it a go." A farmer or a high extrovert is going to say, "Well, we don't have this, we don't have that." They go back to management, they go back to the product strategy, they want pricing, you know, they want all this stuff. Okay, it really limits it. So hunters, people that are good into account acquisition, are higher in dominance than extroversion. We test for that. We can test it, and we have DLIers, so we can tell if people are fibbing when they're completing these tests, and you know,
wow.
'Cause those questions are set up. And then we look at patience.
Wow.
If somebody has too much patience, if they're dominant, more dominant than extroverted, but if their patience, if their patience is too high, then they don't have a closing bias. Mm. So we like somebody that's got high dominance, lower extroversion, and low patience. They're impatient. Now, those kind of people are usually not the conforming types. If you're looking for conformists, people that really fill out the paperwork perfectly every time, you know, that kind of stuff, you're not going to get that with them. Okay.
I find this so interesting, Richard. I really do. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Really. I mean, it's like it's a formula. Right? I mean,
yes,
it really
is. There's a science to it.
It's amazing.
I've been using this since 1992.
It's amazing. It amazes me. It really does. But listen, I want to continue talking about this, but I'm getting a look. I have to go to commercial. Okay, so don't go away. We have more with Richard Van Belzen. When we get back, don't go away.
Academy Sedan and Limo is a full-service transportation company serving the Philadelphia metropolitan area with full knowledge of the New York City, Baltimore, and Washington, D.C. areas. We pride ourselves on being the most dependable, conscientious company in the industry. Our always on-time service and dependable pricing make us the company to call for any event or occasion. Our vehicles can accommodate any size party for any occasion. Our vehicles range from four-door sedans to SUVs to minivans to limo buses to full-size tour buses, and can accommodate groups of 2 to 100. We offer airport shuttle service or over-the-road service without limitation regarding mileage or time, and no drive is too long or too far. So if you find yourself in need of transportation of any type with any vehicle, give us a call at 610-842-4564 and let us show you what a real transportation company can do for you.
Use code ACADEMY2020 to receive 20% off your first 3 rides, including parking and toll.
Hey, road cyclist, do you want a real adventure? How about a week-long vacation in Tuscany or Lake Como, Italy? Cyclabella Italia tours are so much more than just great cycling. Come and enjoy not only cycling, but all the best in food, wine, sightseeing, and la dolce pizza in Italy. Go to the website cyclabellaitalia.com to register for the Cyclabella Italia newsletter, filled with interesting information about Italy and the tours. Visit the website to view the photo gallery of prior tours and learn more about the fantastic cycling experience with Cyclabella Italia. Email Joe at psychobellaitalia.com or phone 480-353-6660. Psychobella Italia. Ride, eat, drink, live.
Broadcasting from the business capital of the world, this is the Podcast Business News Network. Welcome back, everybody. It's Teresa, and I'm with Richard Van Belzen right now. He's the managing director at North Point Business Advisors. They are consultant in revenue growth. That's right. They help you with your revenue growth, and they are number one in the U.S. Welcome back, Richard.
Good to be here. Thank you.
I had to clear my throat for a minute. So we right before the commercial break. Oh, and I want people to know how they get in touch with you. What's the easiest way to, for people to get in touch with you?
You call me at direct number, 585-233-6707.
Great. Thank you. It's 585-233-6707. Ask for Richard. So right before the break, we were talking about the hunter and the farmer. I find it fascinating, really, of how you put together this formula. It's literally a formula in order to help the company with with what's going on with them. I mean, it's wild. And you said you've been doing this since you put this formula together when 1990 what?
1992.
Wow. 1992.
Yep. This is a test that basically was developed originally on some standards at Harvard University in 1939, an adjective-based test.
Wow.
And it complies with all the EOC rules and HR standards and things like that. So it's past mustard. It's it doesn't have any discriminatory impacts, because you have to be careful. Everything's got to be
right.
It's got to fit within the standards. But again, when we're trying to help somebody grow, a lot of times your sales engine is where the rubber hits the road, and you've got to get productivity. You have to get performance, and this is all about selecting of people or evaluating the people you have and putting the people you have in the best position to succeed.
Mm.
And that's really what we do. We don't look to remove people, but we look to put people
right. They might not be in the right. Right. They might not be. If you could utilize them for more maximum capacity in another position, why wouldn't you do that? It kind of makes common sense, doesn't it?
Yep. So you just create the best version of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
That's all you can ask of somebody: be the best version of themselves in their role for the company. Now, you do find that in the sales business that there are people in the sales that maybe shouldn't be in the sales. There's people that should be in the sales that aren't in the sales.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I was dealing with a company several years ago that, again, had some growth issues. They had one of the banks asked me to come in. They had gone from like a $50 million company to $23 million. I sat in there, and they had their current representatives.
I just want to make sure. They declined from 50 to 23. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Go ahead. I'm with you.
23 million. So
that's a big deficit between those numbers.
So the bank was nervous, and the bank said, North Point, you got to go in there and help them. So, the leader said, oh, yeah, sure, here you go. And I said, well, I'm here to help you quickly. And we kind of looked at the people we had, and we created some new approaches for them. But I said, we need to, there's two business sectors that you need to get into. So let's look at those. The guy said, well, I'm not sure. My current guys won't cover them. I said, you're right. You're right about that. But we're going to bring in somebody new. So I hired a person for them that I selected. And they said, I can't believe you hired the person. He's never sold. He was a production manager of a major production. He had 118 welders that worked for him. And they said, why in the world would he be good? I said, well, he's got the dominance way up there, extroversion. He's very impatient. He's competitive. They said, well, he hasn't gone to college. I said, well, guess what? A lot of people haven't gone to college, but he's got the look. I said, he's a scratch golfer. He was a 440 track champion, got a full ride to Indiana University. His dad became ill. He left after 2 years.
Right.
Went back in the same company his dad did, and now he's available.
Wow.
Okay, now, that guy's name is James. Now, James has been averaging $10 to $12 million a year for them.
Wow.
They never had anybody get at that level. He is now a senior VP.
Good
and
for
he's
him.
Got 10, and he's hired a sales force that drives new business.
Mm-hmm.
That's 8 to 10 people that aren't quite at his level,
mm-hmm.
but are doing that kind of stuff. And today,
wow.
that's a $150 million company.
Wow, what a story. I love it. Hey,
and guess what?
What?
And guess what? They don't need me.
they don't need you anymore.
Because I put James in there.
Aww.
We taught James, and James is the kind of drive person
right.
that he's keeping
That's
it going.
That's what they needed.
That's good.
That's what they needed.
I'm happy for them.
You did your job. You did good, Richard. Listen, we have a phone call. Let's see who's calling. Hi, caller. What's your name? You have a question for Richard?
Anthony, yes, I do.
Hi, Anthony. How are you?
And I'm good, thank you. How are you guys doing?
I'm doing well. So what would you like to ask Richard?
It seems like I have something missing in my firm, and I don't know if it's the work or the employees, but something's missing. That it's not functioning the way it should.
Okay.
So when you say something's missing, you're just saying something is off. You don't know what's off.
Yeah, it's not generating what it used to. It's like I'm working with a bunch of zombies. Let's put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you this. How many people do you have in your firm?
Seven.
Okay. So you think how long has it been this way? How long have you had this malaise feeling?
I started noticing it about 3 months ago. And then I try to make some changes to it. I make to make it a little more exciting for them. And it's like, how to say it? Unless I'm on top of them or I'm standing in the middle of the room, it's like they don't feel like they're happy. They don't look like they want to function at all.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. So I wonder what's changed. Is it related to the pandemic? What do you think is... I mean,
well, we actually were able to work through the pandemic, thank God. I guess they don't feel as motivated with everything that's going on. And I try, like, Fridays, I take them to lunch and cheer them up. During the week, I have lunch brought in, like, every other day. Or on a weekend, I invite them out, and we go on an outing. I try to make them feel comfortable. And we have a good team. It's just there's no motivation. No motivation, and it's like, I don't know, it's like they don't care anymore.
Yeah, I mean, people have been through a lot. I have a good sensitivity to what they do, but by the same token, you know, somebody running a company, you need to deliver, right? You need to perform, and you want people kind of rowing the boat energetically together. So that's a good use for a consultant or, you know, a third party, is to go in and kind of, observe, you know, listen to you, you know, kind of walk around the building quietly in that area. And, you know, it's not a lot of people. So it'd just be a matter of saying, what would it take?
Mm.
It could be, you know, having phone calls with them, just saying, hey, we're just doing a check-in for the year. You know, we've been through the COVID. We're in a new year. There's changing conditions. You know, the leader would like, you know, feedback from each of you. Because you know, I think what I hear from you, Anthony, is you feel like you're doing what you can do, but you're saying, I've kind of run out of ideas. I've run out of thoughts. I've run out of...
Yeah, definitely. You know, I'm out of options.
Yeah. So the idea is, you know, you can change yourself, but... You know, you seem like open to do that. You've got the seven people. You know, you could make changes to them, put them in different roles. But some of that could be dramatic. So the key is, what is missing?
Mm.
And, you know, on a phone call, it's hard to determine that because it's more than you. It involves them. And so engaging with them and hearing from you and putting together some ideas and give them ideas to think about doing their job differently.
Almost like a think tank, Richard.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's because people tell me everything when I interview with people or when people talk to me and clients.
Right.
the employees tell me everything. They tell me everything. Now, I might always tell the boss everything because, you know, I don't want to be, you don't need another rumor mill in your company.
Right. They'll tell you quicker than the boss.
Right. So the key is to say, you know, what are the things that are contributed, you know, to solving it? Because when you look at people, you know, I sometimes run to people that are, you know, that are like contrarians or people that are second guessers. And I say, that's fine. But I need, at the end of the day, I got to look at people and I got to say, are you part of the problem or are you part of the solution?
Mm-hmm.
And if I don't know, then you're part of the problem.
Right.
It should be pretty easy to determine if you're part of the problem or the solution. You know, they either get it or they don't. When I look at sales or I look at certain performance, people either get it or they don't.
Right.
So you know, you got to break it down to simple things. And so.
Yeah, well, I think they're lagging so much and they were very productive.
Pardon me?
And now it's only like they're lagging too much, but and they were very productive.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah. So something has caused them to do this.
Mm.
And it sounds like it's not just some of them, it's all of them, right? It's a whole group dynamic.
There could be
an informal leader of that group. Mm. Is there one of the seven or one of the six that's an informal leader?
That's what I've been feeling lately. One of them is the bad apple. And it's a pity because we were all tight. We would go do fishing excursions during the summer. You know, it was a tight group, but very productive and very energetic. And at this point in time, you know, it's like half of the production has been lost, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't want to be mean. I don't want to sound like a mean person and start moving things around because the setup we have has worked for us before in abundance.
Now, do you have metrics on what the difference is? Do you know what the metrics are? Like, say, is the performance or productivity off by a certain percent for these 3 months, or is there some metrics around this?
About 20 to 25% down.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's the gap that you know you want, and then you'd like to get more out of it than that. So that's a good way.
You know, if it was a 10%, I wouldn't be so worried because that's something we could work on. But 20 to 25, that's a big chunk.
Mm.
Yep, I agree. So you know that's where you know it probably won't solve itself. So that's where an intervention of some sort would be valuable.
Well, I'll tell you what. What's your number and website? I'll communicate with you.
Sure. Yeah, I'm at 585-233-6707.
That's Rhode Island, right? 585?
That's up in Rochester, New York.
Oh, okay. All right. I'll give you a call sometime.
So in my way is I could do a Zoom call. I could talk to some of these people. Just say, hey, we're kind of looking at 2021 and we want to look at some ideas and how's it going, and not even intimate that the person like me is there to solve the issue. Just maybe just listen to them,
right,
and see if they self-identify some issues.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, I'll give you a call sometime this afternoon, and we'll make some arrangements based on that.
Okay, sounds great. Thanks.
Thank you for the phone call, Anthony. Appreciate
Thank
it.
You.
You take care. Okay. Wow. That was some question, huh, Richard?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sure he's not alone.
It's the key is that the people just have to raise the hand to bring somebody in. You know, when you bring in a consultant, you say, "Oh boy, that means that I'm incapable. It means that I can't do it.
Right.
It means that I've got to surrender a little bit." And I'm like, "No. That's a bold move. It shows that you've got some confidence in somebody else. You just got to make sure that they're the right person.
Mm-hmm.
That they, if they interact with your people,
right,
that they're caring, they're listening. They're not going to make things worse.
Right. Exactly.
Okay. But I mean, it's 90% of the time or more, we're successful. I mean, the rate of failure is so low.
Mm-hmm.
It's yeah. It you know we're probably 95% of the time we recommend. Now, right. When I say that is the strategies we pick mm-hmm. are strategies that aren't always the best strategy.
Right.
They're strategies that work
right.
because things that sometimes are great and fabulous mm-hmm. are too complex, don't fit the culture, mm-hmm. Cost a lot, whatever. So you got to find something that people can, that they can implement.
Right,
and so,
right.
We've had things. I worked with an HVAC company, and we used to have meetings, and these guys were guys that, installed in your home the mm-hmm. air conditioning system. Well, so we have meetings. We didn't call them meetings. We called them belly-to-bellies. The folks there loved a belly-to-belly. Mm-hmm. They couldn't wait to come to a belly-to-belly. And then when we created systems for their dealers, we didn't call them, like, we're going to sell you six units. We're going to sell you a six-pack. We created six-packs.
I love it.
So we learned about six-packs at belly-to-belly.
Right.
So it's finding the culture, finding the rhythm, relating to the people, and working with them.
Yeah.
Now, is that something that I would do at IBM? Maybe not.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Right. I mean, each company is so different. It really is. Listen, I have to wrap up. We went over a little bit, but I could keep talking to you forever because it's so interesting to me. I love the ins and outs of these. Your formula, what you do. But we have to go. I'm so sorry. But Richard Van Belzen,
welcome.
Please give him a call 585-233. 6707, like Anthony, he can help with your revenue growth. Thank you so much, everyone.
Yes.
Stay right. Thank you, Richard, again. And everyone else, stay where you are. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
Don't go away. Broadcasting from the business capital of the world, this is the Podcast Business News Network.
Hey, what's up, everybody? I'm Jason Derulo. I love that music connects to people all over the country. But unfortunately, so does something else. Childhood hunger. 15 million kids struggle with hunger right here in America. And yet, every year, billions of pounds of surplus food in the U.S. go to waste instead of going to the children in need. Feeding America is working to change this. The Feeding America nationwide network of food banks rescues this surplus of food to help provide meals to families in virtually every community in the United States, including yours. But they just can't do this alone. Join me in the fight against hunger in America. For more information on what you can do to get involved, visit feedingamerica.org. That's feedingamerica.org. Together we can solve hunger. Together, we're feeding America. A message from Feeding America and the Ad Council.